From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, August 12th. Coming up, a U.S. representative from Illinois was part of the delegation that recently visited Taiwan. A conversation with Rajna Krishnamurthy is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is re-upping his call for an apology from Republican rival Darren Bailey for once comparing abortion to the Holocaust. Last week, Bailey appeared to backtrack from his statements in 2017, saying he did not intend to diminish the atrocities of the Holocaust. But Monday, he told WSPY Radio in Plano that he did not owe Jews an apology and that rabbis he has not named have told him that he was, quote, actually right. Pritzker is not buying either explanation.
Why can't Darren Bailey just apologize? He has now twisted himself into knots, first trying to explain what he said, then going back and say, oh, no, I really meant what I said.
Pritzker told reporters that Bailey's comments are offensive to him as a Jew and particularly to Holocaust survivors and their families. The Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center estimates there are between 2,000 and 3,000 Holocaust survivors living in Illinois. The electric automaker Rivian plans to add a second shift at its Normal manufacturing plant by the end of next month, creating a need for even more hiring. In a quarterly financial update yesterday, founder and CEO R.J. Scaringe said Rivian's supply chain, despite its constraints, can support the second shift. Scaringe says it will not exactly be like flipping on a light switch, but
in terms of equipment readiness, robotics and automation controls, those items, of course, have already been worked out through the running of the first shift. So we expect the bring on and ramp up of the second shift to be much very rapid. And we've begun hiring for that.
Adding a second shift essentially increases the hours each day when vehicles are being produced, a key step if the plant is ever to reach its 150,000 vehicle annual capacity. Rivian is only making 25,000 this year. While gas prices are dipping as the summer comes to a close, it's still a concern for Illinoisans. As Harrison Malkin reports, one conservative state representative is looking for answers.
I had a disabled veteran call me the other day that's one of my constituents, and he said his electric bill from Ameren went from, in round numbers, went from $200 a month to $600 a month. And, you know, he said, I can pay this time, but next month, he said, I can't pay this.
A call like this is what brought State Rep Chris Miller and colleagues from the Illinois Freedom Caucus together for an energy town hall in Effingham this week. While Miller says there aren't any Freedom Caucus-sponsored bills in Springfield that would lower energy costs, he says increasing domestic fossil fuel production is the answer. He believes it would also create jobs. While many scientists disagree and say now is the time to invest in alternative energy, Miller says we're not in a climate crisis, but a crisis of common sense. I'm Harrison Malkin, Illinois Newsroom.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature placed the iconic monarch butterfly on its red list of endangered species in July. The monarch still is not listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act of 1973, but groups like the Central Illinois Monarch Butterfly Task Force are taking action now. Katie Enley is a member of this task force. She says climate change and habitat destruction are some of the biggest reasons for the drop in population.
Habitat loss, you know, the more we develop, the more the habitat is taken away, and our herbicide use in horticulture is a lot more than what it used to be. And just even climate change, the different overwintering areas are warmer than what they used to be years ago.
Enley says everyone needs to do their part by helping restore their habitat, planting the milkweed, and increasing public knowledge about these butterflies. Enley says because monarchs are huge pollinators, a significant drop in their population will hurt ecosystems and the food chain. Still to come, we'll hear from Illinois U.S. Representative Rajna Krishnamurthy. He talks about his recent trip to Taiwan with Mawa Iqbal, coming up next on 217 Today.
In the new series, The Green Planet, naturalist Sir David Attenborough travels the globe to present a fresh understanding of how plants live their lives. He meets the largest living things that have ever existed, trees that care for each other, and plants that hunt animals. Filled with beautiful cinematography, The Green Planet reveals how plants have impacted all life. You can stream this series on the PBS Video app as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois Congressman Rajna Krishnamurti was part of the group that joined House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on a trip to Taiwan last week. This was the highest-level U.S. visit to that country in 25 years. Mawa Iqbal spoke with the Schomburg Democrat about why they went and how their trip could impact already strained relations between the U.S. and China.
What was the purpose of this trip? I don't know if you had any specific goals for it.
Yeah, there were two purposes. One was, you know, especially in light of what's happened in Ukraine, we want to make sure that what happened there does not happen with regard to Taiwan or any other place in the Southeast Asian region. So it was really important to stand shoulder to shoulder with our allies, partners, and friends to, resist any aggression by any actor in the neighborhood, so to speak, including the People's Republic of China. The second reason why we went was to expand economic ties and cooperation with the region, especially in light of the passage of the CHIPS Act, which encourages the manufacturing of semiconductor chips in America. And so a lot of these countries, including Taiwan, but also Japan and South Korea and Singapore and others, were very excited about this particular bill because they're looking to move manufacturing of these semiconductor chips to reliable partners like America. And so we're looking forward to growing that opportunity, too.
Yeah. And so speaking of the People's Republic of China and their threats, I'm sure you saw that they had been issuing warnings about this visit, you know, weeks before you all ended up going. Were there any safety concerns for Taiwan or for the U.S.?
There were concerns, obviously, for us as travelers. The United States Air Force and Navy did an excellent job of making sure that we could safely arrive and depart. With regard to the island, unfortunately, the Chinese Communist Party initiated live fire exercises and military drills, yeah, which they've done in the past, and they did it again following our visit. But if the cost of avoiding these provocative measures by the Chinese Communist Party is to cede control of Taiwan or our travel schedules to them, that is a price we are not going to pay.
It's also been reported that we're already seeing some repercussions from the trip, for U.S.-China relations. So like interrupted conversations around climate change and then, you know, dialogue between militaries of both countries. Is it possible to see more of that happening?
I think that the passage of the historic Inflation Reduction Act, which makes major investments in fighting the climate crisis, will be an opportunity, hopefully, to reengage with Beijing on dealing with this common challenge, which is how does the world reduce our carbon emissions and, basically fight man-made climate change.
You're hopeful that those conversations will be able to happen?
Yes. I think that we have to restore peace and calm to the Taiwan Strait. At the same time, we need to make sure that we can walk and chew gum, that is, help Taiwan protect its democracy, which we are obligated to do, by the way, under the Taiwan Relations Act. But at the same time, engage Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party and the People's Republic of China on some of our common challenges, such as fighting climate change, but also hopefully working on global economic development and so forth. We unfortunately see the People's Republic of China throwing its elbows in the neighborhood, whether it's at the Philippines or with regard to Vietnam and the South China Sea, or even India on its northwest borders. And certainly we saw what happened in Hong Kong. And so we need to stand firm as an international community that all countries should observe an international rules-based order where we can work together, we can make sure that the use of force is not used and that disagreements are solved peacefully.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a high of 78 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Ryan Denham, Harrison Malkin, Jordan Mead, and Mawa Iqbal. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.